Well, this is always a highlight in the life of the church. This is not some religious exercise. This is a picture, a symbol of what has already taken place in an individual's life. No one was ever saved from the penalty of their sins by being dunked under Marysville water. No one was ever saved from the penalty of their sins by being dunked in any kind of water. By no work of man can any man be right with God. This is simply a picture of what God has done in the life of one person. As such, it's a great sermon, because God in salvation takes a person from the kingdom of darkness and transfers them into the kingdom of light, where they were spiritually dead with no ability whatsoever to please God or to comprehend spiritual truth. God opens their eyes to comprehend the truth, to understand the truth, and to receive the truth. And in saving them from the penalty of their sins, he clothes them in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so the most vile sinner on earth, once saved from the penalty of their sins, is seen as righteous in God's eyes. It's hard to imagine, hard to understand, and yet that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. And so this very simply is a symbolic proclamation of what's taken place. It demonstrates unity with Christ. It demonstrates obedience to Jesus Christ. He said that we should be saved. We should commit our lives to live for Jesus Christ, recognizing that we're sinners, deserving of hell, destined for hell. But once saved from the penalty of our sins, well then, we're to tell people that we belong to Jesus Christ. And this is a very public way to do that. This is always a testimony to newness of life, to a total dependence on God, not self. It's a testimony to be bold in sharing Christ with others. It's a commitment to live a sanctified life. We're not perfect, but the direction of our life should be ever moving toward Christ-likeness. That involves walking in obedience to the Word of God. This is a commitment, a public commitment to say, I belong to Jesus Christ. I've been forgiven of my sins. My desire is to live for Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is all about. That's what this public proclamation says. It's a graphic picture. When the person goes down under the water, that picture's death. Those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ, we were baptized into Christ at the moment of salvation, died in his death to sin, and then coming out of the water, pictures being raised to newness in Christ. So there's the death, there's the burial, and then there's the resurrection coming up out of the water. It's a very graphic picture of what happens in the life of a true follower of Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation. Tonight you're going to hear the testimony of Toni LeGrand. You're going to hear her testimony. And I would encourage you to listen carefully. For some of you, it will be an opportunity to praise God, recognizing that as sinners, God provided a way for us to have our sins paid for. That's what Jesus Christ did. He came to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life, went to the cross, died in the place of those who would believe, paying the penalty demanded by God, satisfying the wrath of God, so that sin could be paid for, and so that once dead person could now have spiritual life and then live forever in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's what this testimony is all about. Toni?
Hi. Hi. My name's Tony LeGrand. As long as I can remember, I loved Jesus, church, and claimed to be a Christian. I also loved youth group, altar calls, and potlucks. As a teen, I became very lost, experimenting and getting into trouble. I believe that was my generational right. All the memories I thought I was making usually ended with me begging God not to let the drugs and alcohol kill me. When I lived to see another day, I praised him. I judged my peers for not believing in God and lack of moral standards while living the same sinful life they were. When I got out of that lifestyle, I was still bouncing from church to church, grasping for love, consistency, and balance in my life. Reflecting back, I have to laugh at myself. I thought I could do and fix everything my way. When my way didn't work, I would pray, "Okay, Lord, I screwed up. I did everything backwards. Now you fix it." I am here to say it doesn't work that way. So many failed relationships, and four beautiful babies later. Here I am. God landed me right where I need to be. God brought me here to Grace Bible Church, where the Word of God is faithfully taught. No more floundering, no more lifestyle changes to a new, more balanced me, no more running. For the first time, I am actually hearing and pursuing the true word of God. How humbling it has been. One day last year, I was taking Addie to preschool and singing to praise music. In an instant, I was deeply grieved and flooded with the thought, "You are a sinner. All your church going and good morals is not going to save you. You have done wrong by God, your family, your children, and people of your past." I felt a deep, gut-wrenching remorse and an urgency to repent. With all the painful conviction, I cried tears of joy. I felt freed and I felt loved. It was time to lean on the Lord and not my own understanding. Times are still hard, life still happens, and stresses still here. The difference now is only by the strength and grace of God I can slow down and let God guide me to work life out. It's not me in a panic needing to fix or run from life's troubles. God has given me peace in the chaos. Just as God went before the Israelites, he goes before me. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.
Great. Thanks, Tony. Some questions for you. You grew up around the church. You mm-hmm. said you were so church-ized that you liked potlucks.
Yeah, I loved potlucks.
That should have been a tip right there. So you were around the church. You were around church people. You were around church language. So you knew the words. Mm-hmm. But as you pursued your own way, you began to notice a difference between what you were doing and what others were doing, and you rationalized what you were doing because it wasn't as bad as what you saw others doing, correct?
Correct.
That's a typical move of religious people. Religious people find their worth in holding themselves up against others. And as Tony said earlier, she thought she was okay with God. She knew what she was doing was sin, but her sin wasn't as bad as others' sins, which is why she could judge others for doing, in essence, the very same thing you were doing.
Exactly.
But you were a nicer person, and you didn't do stuff to the extreme that they did. And that's what religious people do. They hold others up as the standard, conclude that they're better than they are, and therefore God will be okay with them. As you said earlier, you figured you and God would work it out somehow later on.
Yeah.
Right. That's religion right there. That is the definition and picture of religious people. And it's so interesting, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the fact that there will be people who will stand before him, the omniscient, all-knowing God of the universe, and they'll say to God, hey, we deserve to be in heaven. We've done all these wonderful things. And in essence, what they're saying is, we're not like the murderers. We're not like the rapists. We're not like the child molesters. We're better than that. And God says this: depart. I don't even know who you are. What a shock. For people to go their entire life believing they're good with God because they've created their own standard. Isn't it interesting? You can't do that in any other aspect of life. Create your own standard at work, they'll fire you. Play sports, create your own standard for what's a goal, for what's a touchdown, what's a home run, they'll kick you out of the game. But in terms of one's eternal destiny, they make their own standard and then foolishly try to convince an all-knowing God that they're good enough. So what's the standard? What is God's standard? It's sinful. It's sinless. Perfection. God says this in the Old Testament: be holy as I am holy. You can't be sinful and holy at the same time. He repeats it in the New Testament: be holy as I am holy. That's the standard. So if you want to know how to get into heaven, the answer is be like God. That's exactly what he says. Be holy as I am holy. That's the standard. Now, if you can't be holy as God is, you are destined for hell. Well, you say, that's not very fair. That's not very loving. Oh, no, it is loving, because God is a just God. God created the standard, and then he made a way for man's sin to be paid for so that man could be seen as righteous and holy in God's eyes. That's why Jesus came to earth. And by accepting Christ's sacrifice, denying yourself, living for him, being willing to die for him, and then following him in obedience, that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Anything short of that makes a man worthy of an eternity in hell. And you can't say it's not fair, because he provided the sacrifice. Sent his own son to do that on your behalf. Well, one day, taking your little one to school, it all crashed, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's it mean to confess your sin?
To tell Jesus that you're sorry and to give it over to him, you know?
Yeah, to confess your sin basically means to agree with God about the sin. I understand that this tiny little innocent sin is enough to send me to hell for all of eternity. That's how God views sin. That's how he wants us to view sin. But unless God opens your eyes to understand that, you go through life as a religious person and then get shocked in the end. Bible says it's appointed to man to die once, then comes judgment. And so you better get it figured out in this lifetime. And for that to happen, God has to open your eyes. You thought you were right with God. You started attending church here. You're being a good church person. Having your kids in Sunday school.
Yep.
And then one day God opened her eyes to figure out, you know what? I'm a sinner. That's exactly what she concluded. I am a sinner. I do not meet the standard of God. She confessed her sin. She agreed with God about her sin. She did everything she could to turn from that sin. And that's an ongoing process, right?
Yeah, every day.
to confess it, to turn from your sin. God's forgiven that sin. And for the true follower of Jesus Christ, what a blessing to know that all your sin, past, present, and even future sin, has already been covered. It's already been forgiven because of what Christ did on the cross. That's not true for religious people. They're trying their best to be good people, hoping that God will give them a break because they're not as bad as other people. It's the most foolish thing, and it's tragic. We're so grateful that God opened your eyes to comprehend the truth. The verse you quoted is interesting. It's a condition. There's a condition involved with that verse, and the condition is obedience. God goes before those who obey his word. For those who choose to live in disobedience, he'll let them go off and do their own thing, and then they crash. You've experienced that a time or two.
Yeah.
And now your desire is to trust in him with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make those paths straight. You can pray for Tony, pray for her family. Life's not easy. Life is difficult. But eternity can either be hell or blessed. She's headed for blessing. And in this life, she wants to be a bright, shining light as evidence that God transforms and changes a life. Tony, based on your testimony, your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Out of the trials, the difficulties, the pain of life, only God can bring good things. By good, I don't mean nice. By good, I mean eternally good things. It's the difference between storing up your treasure on earth and storing up your treasure in heaven. Tony's desire would be if you're here tonight and you're a religious person, give it up. You're not fooling anybody. You're most certainly not fooling God. And it's appointed on a man to die once. You don't get a second chance. And so you want to make sure your relationship with Jesus Christ is right. Here's the key. That will always be evidenced by fruit. If you bought an apple tree, planted it in your backyard, and the thing never, ever produced one tiny, teeny little apple, you'd cut it down, throw it in the fire. That's a parable Jesus told, and that's exactly what he'll do to those who claim to be apple trees and produce no fruit. The evidence is the key. Well, Father, thank you for Tony's clear testimony. Thank you for what you've done in her life to draw her to yourself. Thank you for the fact that as religious as she thought she was, as good as she tried to be, the standard she held herself up to was others. The problem is that standard's not your standard. And so we pray, Father, you'd be gracious to open the eyes and ears and minds and hearts of people who are here, help them to comprehend truth for the first time, so that today might be the day of their salvation. Without this, Father, they are destined to eternity without you. We pray you'd be gracious to move in people's hearts this night. All this, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.